Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com, here with actually two special guests. One's very special, the other one's kind of special. We have Mr. Brad Stinson.
What up, dude?
Welcome. He came all the way from Michigan.
Yes, sir. Dude, you really have upgraded your setup here, man.
I mean, I try to do what's best for the listeners, you know, and I try to provide superior sound quality. Actually, what I did is I copied everything that Joe Rogan had. And so I went and I did a shopping list based on the stuff that he has.
The only difference is he's way more funny than you.
And he sounds so much better on the phone, looks better. I mean, or on the phone, on the podcast, looks better too, which we won't talk about that. But anyways, I also have another special guest, Mr. Luis, and I'll never get your name, so I'll let you introduce that.
Luis Aguero.
There nice we go. Luis, I call you Luis.
Either one works.
It looks like Luis.
I mean, you can call him whenever the hell you want to until he passes his fucking test.
That's true. Well, he's going to be a while until he passes the test. He's working on it. So, Luis is my new loan partner. Luis is very new to the industry. I don't think before this he knew that mortgage had a T in it. So, but, you know, it's good. So, Luis is kind of high speed. He knows what he's doing. When it comes to unpackaging things, and that comes from your engineering background. You know how to take something and break it down. It's nice because I don't have to sit there and be like, okay, now I need you to dot this I and cross this T and put a comma there because I'm not good at
grammar.
Make sure
that page two follows page one.
Right, exactly. Okay, you know. I don't have to teach them that. So
earlier when you were trying to hold my hand, I had to make you go away.
Well, I was trying to hold your hand because you're new. We got to break you in. So that had nothing to do with the system itself. I just wanted to hold your hand.
And that means hazing shit out of you.
It's kind
of
sweaty.
That's what we're doing today, though. So today
airy, dude. Full of Mexican burritos.
He's not even Mexican. He's not even, what are you, Costa Rican?
South of the border.
Said whatever. So close enough.
Venezuelan. Venezuelan.
Right. No, he's not Venezuelan. He's Costa Rican. See?
Okay.
It's close, though. So
same demographic.
We're going to haze Luis. Luis.
It's all in good fun, man.
It's not the first time I've been hazed.
It's not bad. No, and that's the other big thing. So
y'all motherfuckers have never been hazed. Just throw that out there.
So
bull crap.
You're saying that because I'm sure you've been hazed. What's your favorite flavor crayon? Now
one,
I'm talking
man.
Your language. Am I talking your love language?
This is a hard one. I would have to say orange.
Orange. So, and Luis, Army background. You were 10 years in the Army.
Correct.
So, Luis is going to be...
All right. So, you have been hazed a little bit.
He was a cavalry scout.
Scout.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you guys may have served at the same place at the same time. It's kind of funny.
Possibly.
Small world.
We worked a lot with the Marines when we were deployed.
Where were we stationed?
Fort Hood, mainly. Fort Hood, Fort Bragg, Fort Knox.
Isn't there a big cavalry unit in Fort Sill? Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Yes.
That I was stationed there for a while for artillery school. So
you went to school?
School was there only to play sports.
Right,
okay?
Right.
Sports were there, you know, to boost the school up.
Yeah, make it look good.
Very, very firm believer in that.
They're like, our academic level, you know, we average at a 1.9, but we blow out every football game.
No, not my football team.
That's
football
Texas
team,
sports. That's Texas our, sports, my bad.
Our football team sucked ass.
Did
I mean,
they?
It was horrible.
That's because
you
were north of Texas.
Just beat the Marines.
At what?
The Army sniper team beat the Marines
really?
This year.
See?
Must have been windy.
Can't do anything with the wind. Anyway.
Well, we shoot with iron sights, man. 500 yards. These were with optics, weren't they?
No way.
Yeah, we do. Rifle qual, man. 500 yards, iron sights. You're saying no way because you can't do that shit.
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Anyways, so.
Scored 39 out of 40 on iron sights.
I have one bad eye, so I can't talk about all that, the iron sights and everything else. But what I can talk about is how much better of a loan officer I am than both of you. So
fuck you.
Well, that's not fair because I'm not a loan officer.
It doesn't matter if you're a loan officer or not. The fact is you still suck right now, today, as of today, walking into
Dude,
it.
We've all sucked
okay,
at one point.
We did.
A little bit.
You know? Well, the biggest thing is when you suck, you just have to have the drive to get better.
Good.
Know? Yeah.
There's an opportunity for growth.
Exactly. And that's the thing. You're in a situation, and this is what's great for you, is you have some experience behind you where you're going to learn from people who know how to do it well and do it right. Because everything's about forming those habits. You know, everything's about getting in there and figuring out how to do things and how to progressively get better and better and better and not be afraid to ask for help. You know, some people get in these ruts and they get to a point where it's like, all right, I'm doing good enough, but they're not doing great. You know, you get these average loan officers, they do one, two, three deals a month, and that's where they stay, and they stay there because they never seek out the help to do better. You know, they never go out and say, hey, how can I do this better? What, teach me something. You know, they just, they get stagnant, and they get to that point where they're making, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month more than what they've probably ever made in their lifetime. And they say, well, this is good enough. And then the market changes, and then they're like, maybe I'll go back to working at O'Reilly's.
No way.
There's nothing. Let me clarify something. There is nothing wrong with working at O'Reilly's. I'm just saying they take a step back from where they aspired to be one day
let's be honest, a paycheck, you're going to take a massive step back.
You're going to take a step back, but what I'm saying is a person may go back to that comfort zone. You know, you get a lot of people that are in the industry and they were bartenders.
Hey, let me ask them.
No. They were bartenders.
Is there any growth in the comfort zone?
There's not. If there is, it's very, very slow and small growth.
It's round.
It is. You like round growth, though. We said growth, not girth, in the comfort zone. But, you know, I'm talking about people who fall back into what was comfortable for them. You know, they were a bartender. They made a couple hundred dollars a week, and the industry gets tight, and they go back, and they say, at least I can make a couple hundred dollars a week here. I don't have to worry about the commission-only paycheck. The thing is you're not here for that, and you know that. And that's something, when you and I initially talked, it was, I want to do something bigger. You know, I have bigger aspirations, bigger dreams. And, you know, part of that is doing the things to help out the veterans, like what we do here. You know, Brad does 100% VA work. That's what he does. That's what he specializes in. That's where he targets his business. I do a mix. I have a larger mix than Brad probably would like to see on paper, but it's because I help so many different people. I've been in the industry much longer. He's been in the industry, 2 years now?
Officially started almost 2 years ago.
So 2 years ago, you've been in it for 2 days, you know, so there's a lot of learning patterns and things that you can grow from. The biggest thing is where Brad is now, 2 years later, you would never be, or most loan officers would never be there without being challenged and growing. You know, most loan officers, like I said, they get in that pattern, then they just, it's whatever. I'm here. Mm-hmm. Give me my paycheck every other Friday.
That's what I've seen. Yeah. When I get loan officers reach out to me all the time, they're like, how in the hell did you get to where you're at so quickly?
Yeah.
Like, take just this upcoming month.
Mm-hmm.
100% VA. I'm closing over $2 million this month. I just reached my 2-year anniversary as a loan officer. Not to mention, you know, you still have that 5-month period in which you got to get your license.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I wasn't even licensed yet. Mm-hmm. I just started as a loan officer, just like you, where you're at. And like, how the hell did you get there so quickly? Well, first off, it's hard work, right? I'm not afraid of hard work. Neither are you. That's your background, right? I don't know you from Sam. We just met this morning. Right.
Right.
But I know damn well you have a work ethic behind you because.
Not, I wouldn't be here.
And he's detailed.
Military. Right.
Right. But like, he's detailed too.
Yeah. So, and that's going to take you a long way. But it's the fact that you're willing to put in the work. You know, you're willing to get uncomfortable. You know, that was the thing with me. Like, I immediately knew how to set myself apart from the rest. Well, how is that? Put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, like I shoot videos all the time. Some are good. Some suck ass. You know?
I mean, yeah, most of them are good because you've practiced the content. That's the biggest thing. You know, we talked about, we opened this up and we were talking about shooting with iron sights from 500 yards and doing these different things. All that stuff is practice. Mm-hmm. Unless you're Chris Kyle, no one's actually just went out and shot something and were like, boom, 500 yards, good. You know? I mean, it takes over and over. Right. But it's repetition. It's just like when you were in the Army, just like in the Marines. You know, you go to the range, you practice because you eventually become really good at doing something. And you are an expert or a marksman, you know, as they say. In this industry, it's no different. You have to do it over and over. And guess what? Once you get it down, Uncle Sam or Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac or Jenny Mae, they step in and they say, hey, you're doing good. We're about to fuck with you, and here's how. And they change something. And so then they change it, and you got to pivot, reload, adapt, and go. You know, that's what you have to do in this industry. That's why this industry is suited so well for people that have the desire to do something different all the time.
Correct.
To grow and to continue to go. You know, a very small portion of our business is calculating numbers. you know, I think from the surface level, people sit there and they look at loan officers and they're like, they're a bunch of little geeks with pocket protectors. And they're like, nee, 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 you know, and they're plugging shit in.
Where are your glasses at?
Right, exactly. Where's your abacus?
You know? I'm on order.
Right. That is actually true. But it's not. The biggest thing is being able to look at a scenario that's difficult and complex, because a lot of times people look at it and they think, oh, I got good credit. Well, no, you don't. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry to say that. This credit score is not what we consider in the industry good, or the income or the debts or whatever. And it takes a person that's able to solve a problem, and a person that's able to unpack those problems and say, okay, I know I've done this before and then I've done that. And that only comes with experience.
Correct. You know? Absolutely. And that's, I mean, I hate to turn this into a VA home loan thing, but that's exactly what's going on with the VA home loan, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're in this little pit of despair, if you will, mm-hmm. with the VA home loan. Everybody's like, oh, shit, a VA offer.
It changed again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know, that's where a VA home loan specialist comes in.
Well, you get these people that reach out. I get them all the time. They're like, I had a call yesterday. Hey, the seller is saying they will accept this offer, but they're not paying a dime over, you know, the termite inspection. I said, well, good news. They don't even have to pay the termite inspection. Well, they don't?
Bullshit.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Show it to me. Prove it.
Put it in writing.
Prove it.
It says it here. But they don't.
VA Circuit 26-14-10. There you go. There it is in writing.
See, he knows it off the top of his head. But the thing is you don't have to pay that. And I explained to the agent, you know, we get into non-allowables when we have those very small loan amounts mm-hmm. where a person decides, hey, I'm going to buy 5 acres of land in a Connex box that's been, you know, converted into a single yeah. family. And then you're like, well, how much is that purchase price? I'm like, $57,000. You're like,
shit.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sell my Yukon. And give you the money over the next 30. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, but everything's suited
that
for the right people.
That would be a violation.
Yes.
Just let you know, boot.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, those are the things that it takes, and it takes the learning. And fortunately with this team, if you're going to be a VA home loan specialist, that's what we expect you to be.
Dude, you are so lucky to be joining this team. Like, I can just tell you that right now. And I'm not trying to knock anything or you or anything else. Just – I know from where I came from as a loan officer, I was telling you that, you know, today, like, holy shit, man, I was just, here's your rules and regs. Good luck.
Here's
like,
your book.
Oh, damn, dude, what, seriously? Like, try to read through mortgage guidelines?
When I got in the industry, it wasn't even about that. I got in the industry pre-crash, so you could do anything. Like I told you earlier, you didn't even have to have a social. You got a name? Yep. What is it? Boom. Approved. $300,000. You know,
he's the reason why you have to take this.
I'm not the reason why.
He's the reason.
When I was 100%. Introduced into the industry, here's what I got. I got a phone, a desk, and basically a phone book of old leads. That's what I got. And you look at them, and I remember my first leads ever were called lime leads. And they were just printed off on a piece of paper. There was a big lime at the top of them, and everything was in black and white because we were trying to save money, but everything was broker shops. And a person literally came over and boom, there's your stack of leads. And you picked up the phone, you started making calls, and you're calling, and you're like, hey, Luis, you know, I know you applied for a home mortgage on xyz.com, you know, I wanted, and you're getting cussed out, and people are like, xyz.com, no, it said I'd win $500 if I filled out this information, and I didn't win, why are you calling me? You know, it was a very different world back then. Now it's a little bit, things are settled down a little bit, but you could take people, 580 credit score, stated income, stated assets, you know, 580 credit score, you're working your way towards the top, but you would have Domino's pizza drivers or letters of reference, so you'd have people that were quote unquote babysitters, and they would get three letters. So three people within their family or somewhere would say, Luis babysits for me and I pay him $2,500 a month. And
seriously?
Yes. Three letters of reference. That's all you needed. Like we had landscapers. It's like, okay, I cut grass for a living. All right. Well, how much do you get paid? $100 every time I mow. How much do you mow? I mow 10 yards a day. We're like, holy shit, dude, you're making bank. Obviously that, you know, the reality of that wasn't what it seemed to be. The economy was booming, and so people were using those services. But literally three letters of reference. I could write it down here on this piece of paper and sign it, and that was acceptable to underwriters back then.
That's gangster, man.
It is. So, like, that's OG mortgages. Now we're in a new time, and you guys are fortunate because we're in a time where things are changing, and you're looking at it, and you're like, wow, these changes really suck. We're like, these changes are awesome.
You know, I think we were talking about that today, you know. Typical American fashion, you know, swing the pendulum from one extreme to the other.
Yep.
You know, a little over the top with Dodd-Frank and the regs that came down. But it's starting to come back down. You know, it's starting to level itself out to the point where, you know, you don't need to verify income four different ways.
As much, yeah. You know? It's not tax returns, W-2s, yeah, bank statements, you know.
You still verify the income,
yeah.
You know, but you just don't need to verify it. Four different, okay, so we have four different documents that state the exact same thing. We're good on income.
Right.
You know, it's not like that anymore. And that's what it was like when I first started. But what I was saying is, you know, the beauty of our team is, you know, we span many years, right? From being brand new, like myself, I'm still considered new. I'm a shower shoe. I'm not a boot, right? in technical terms. Technical terms, shower shoe.
do you care to tell the audience what a shower shoe is? I'm teasing. Keep going.
And then I'm
quite curious myself. I've never seen a shower shoe.
You're bi curious?
It kind of sounded like that, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. We can play it back. If you're semi-confused of what it sounded like, we can play it back. So, but anyways, do you want a glass of whiskey?
The team has Rick Ward, who's been doing this, like 30 years?
Yeah, Rick Ward's been doing it since, the 1003 was invented.
Yeah, I know. He was using an abacus.
Right, exactly.
You know, but so you have all these years, but you also have different styles and different approaches.
Yeah.
Right? The way that people approach their business. And every single one of us are more than willing to take an hour out of our day to share it with you. You know, to help you get up to speed. Because the way we look at it is, you know, we don't thrive if you're behind.
Everybody on the team has to be strong.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. You always hear your strong is your weakest link.
Yeah, that's always a cheesy cliche.
It's cheesy, but the thing is your weakest link should have leadership behind him or her to bring them forward. Yep. You know, when I think of it, I think of the people that are falling behind, you know, and I don't know why a military movie popped in my mind, but people that fall behind in line, you try to get people behind them to push them forward and continue on. And hey, exactly. And that's the thing is we have to move forward as a unit or a group, and we have to succeed. We need to sit at the table together and eat together. There's no reason why any of us should sit there and, hey, I'm eating ramen noodles and he's eating filet mignon.
Are you done with those?
Yeah.
Can I
eat that? Hey, you didn't get all the crab out of the crab leg. I'll eat it for you.
I'll suck it out.
I'll suck the brains out. Anyways, back to the bike here. So
you're bike curious? That's
right.
But no, it's very, you know, you are coming into a very good situation, you know, as a loan officer, production partner, you know, you get to learn from this idiot, you know, AJ.
So far, so good.
You know, I'll circle back in a month.
Yeah. You told me to fuck off.
You do it twice today. It's not even 9. Well, it's good.
Yeah.
He's in a good mood then.
Exactly. No. Things are going great for you.
You know, like when I started, I knew that there was more to this than just making phone calls.
Yeah.
I knew that there is more that I could be doing because I'm like, dude, if it was so easy to make 40 phone calls, why isn't every loan officer across the country a millionaire? You know? And, you know, I can understand the logic behind it. I see the value behind it, but I, you know, like I was saying to you, the way my brain works is I had to know why. Why am I doing, like, what's the end goal here? What's the reason, you know, and the whole other aspect of it. And nobody could really answer that. So it just left my own mind to wander as to what is it that I bring to the table.
Well, there's more to it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, the thing.
And how do I break in? I'm brand new loan officer. How do I get these people to trust me as a loan officer, like a person that they trust with their commission check?
Right.
Right. And that's what it all boils down to, right? An agent is not going to refer somebody over to you if they think that they're going to lose out on money.
Right.
You know? So what value did I bring? And that's where insert VA home loan specialist, you know, because I'm a veteran and I know the intrinsic value it brought me purchasing a home using my VA home loan benefit.
Right? That sounded so scripted when you said that. You're like, I'm a veteran and I've blah, 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 blah. That's what I heard when you said, but just because, no, I mean, I say that because when it becomes a part of who you are, it becomes very, you know, you just blah.
It just rolls out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And sometimes we say things with more passion if it's a firmer belief, but you literally, that's something that's ingrained so deep in you because you've said it so many times, because you feel it, because you live it, that it just, that's why I said it sounded scripted, because it just rolled out so perfectly, you know?
And I'm on the same line as Bicurious here, so I need to, you know, make sure that I keep it even keel to, you know, the volume level, so.
That is true, because old Bicurious over here. Well, and you see how he's slowly kind of in and out from the microphone, you know, he's like, hey, my name is Luis, and I'm
Bob. For cock.
Should we edit that?
There's a term that we have for that. Right. You know, so that's the value I brought. You know, that's the value I bring. I know that there is absolutely positively nobody who will take better care than a veteran than
another veteran. Yep.
You know, period. And if that, like right now I'm at that stage in my career, and you've probably already passed that, AJ, where I will take a call at 11 o'clock at night.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, absolutely. Because if I don't, then I'm essentially saying,
fuck off.
Go ahead and call the 1-800 number, guys.
Yeah.
Because they're going to answer.
Well, the other thing is, too, like, I got a message from a client the other day, and she was like, oh, I didn't even expect you to respond back. I figured you would respond to this in the morning. I'm like, uh-uh. This is how this works. And, you know, I stole a client from the credit union down the road. Literally, if you go up the hill and back down, there's a credit union right there. And this is one for GM employees. Like, and this client happens to work for GM, but he was special forces in the Army. He's a badass. And I had an agent that said, hey, you need to call my guy. Because they had a question on, like, a Thursday. I finally spoke to him, got him all, you know, taken care of and everything else. We're good to go. We're running down. And getting their pre-approval and everything done, they did not get a call back from their loan officer till Wednesday of the next week. And it wasn't even their loan officer. It was the loan officer's assistant that reached out to them. Like, you can't do that. This is a environment where people have emotional questions. Hey, is this going to work? Like, you want to talk about an emotional decision? Try to buy a house. Yeah. I was in this industry for a long time before I bought a house, and I was panicking. I'm like, do you need this? I haven't heard from you in like 37 seconds. Is there anything else you need? Is this going to be approved? So I can only imagine people that have never bought before.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've had some hardship. Well, they've had some hardship. Let's say people that have had previous foreclosures, entitlements been used up, things like that. Maybe they have disability rating and you know, they don't know how that's going to play an effect to their income. And, you know, you have a million different scenarios, and you have to be the person that's there. And you're like, hey, you know, it's going to be okay. I'm going to hold your hand. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through this together. You know, it's like anything else. You battle this together. And then when you get to the finish line, you're bumping chest and you're shaking hands, and everyone's in good shape.
What I love is when I receive that 12th hour on the 12th day, we're closing in 3 days and we can't pull a COE. Oh my God, what are we going to do?
Right.
PA deal's about to blow up.
Yeah.
And I have to be the bearer of bad news when I tell them that you're not eligible, man.
Right.
Right. But I would 100% rather it be me delivering that news.
Yeah.
Because I've built out a network of people that I can connect them with.
When you find other solutions to get stuff done.
Correct, because I refuse to just tell a veteran, no, see you, bro.
Yeah.
You know, there's ways, there's resources available.
Thank you for your service.
Oh, well, thank
you. Yeah, that's what it rolls out to be, though. It's like, hey, nope, thanks anyway. Sorry, thank you for your service, though.
Yeah.
You know, and send them on down the road. It's no, hey, okay, the VA home loan isn't for you, and it may be that you were in the National Guard and you didn't collect enough points over the period of time, and somebody said, yeah, you're good to go, and they never pulled the point statement. You know, and so now I got to go back and say, hey, thank you for your service, but not enough, you know?
Yeah, and it's a hard conversation to have.
It is.
You know, and it's an easier one for a veteran to have with another veteran, and I'm not trying to knock you.
Fuck you.
At all. So please don't take it that way. But
I'm just going to hold my head in shame.
I can at least turn it into a joke. Like, hey, man, you shouldn't have been a weekend warrior, bro.
Right.
You know, like, sorry. You know, but it comes out more sincere. It's not like
I mean, I could say that. Asshole. I could say that, but the response may not be the same.
Yeah, you probably get a throw
punch. I could say that.
But, you know,
but it probably wouldn't go over well.
And now you have a veteran in your office. Make him deliver the bad news.
I'd be like, hey, call this guy up and tell him to fuck it. Tell him that he's got 15 out of 16 points.
Tell him the hooah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you give him the bad news, but you also put together a game plan.
It's
yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's no just saying, hey, sorry about your luck, you know, thanks for playing, we'll see you later. It's, hey, man, you know, we can't do this, but here's some alternatives of what we can do. And by the way, we have this, like, we have the conventional.
But how many loan officers out there will just tell them no?
Well, that's because that's the easy way out.
Exactly.
So here's the thing. You have a couple different methods of how you handle things. You can do it the easy way, which, oh, you fit in this box? Cool, let's do it. Nope, you don't. Nope, we're not going to do it. And then you have the people that try and work, and they put stuff together, and they repair credit, and they help people figure out their finances, and they do different things to make it work. And then you hit a roadblock, and they say, all right, no problem. There's a pothole right there, so we're going to weave a little bit to the right, and we're going to go over here instead. That is the true successful loan officers work that way. It's not just bring them in, you know, wash, rinse, repeat. It's bring them in. Let's figure it out. Let's find out what their needs are. Let's put them in specialty categories, and let's work with them through the process. That's why we get paid decent money, because we don't just walk them in and say, you fit in that box? Nope. All right, next. You fit in that box? Nope. All right, next. We don't do that. You know, nobody fits in the box. And the thing is, you can be in this
damn box.
No, not unless it's a big fucking box. Now, but you can be in this industry for
a refrigerator box.
15 years. Yeah, big refrigerator side by side. You could be in this industry for 15 years and
2,500 cubic square feet.
You will have, and 13,000 BTUs, you will have people that have a different scenario. It's the same loan. It's a VA home loan, but the scenario is different. Yep. You know, they have entitlement and they're 15% disabled, so they're exempt from the funding fee, and you can gross up their disability because they barely skin by with what their civilian job pays, or, you know, a million different things.
Yeah, I mean, the easiest way that I've been finding to explain this is, as with any successful mission that you embark on, you launch it from your base of operations.
Yeah.
Right? And the more robust your base of operations is, the more tactical assaults you could launch from that base of operations. So you're going to try to find a war path to go down. You're going to go down a couple war paths that are going to blow up.
Yeah.
But you will, by the sheer grace of God, you will find a path, a war path, that you'll trudge down with your veteran client to home ownership.
Well, and I'm going to say this, and then we're going to wrap this up. We're actually going to do a two parts. We're going to have this one. We're going to do it. Obviously, I don't. I got two kids. But we're going to do this in a two parts. So we're going to split this one up just for the listener's sake. But yesterday, we were talking about a battle room or a war room or a prep battle room. Yeah. That's the same concept. You know, you get in there and you look at all the details and all the ins and outs and possibilities and everything else, and you make up your game plan, and you proceed forward with a plan in hopes that you would complete the mission as expected. But just like anything else, sometimes something pops up and you're like, all right.
An IED. Boom. No shit.
Yeah. How do we deal with this now? Yeah. And so now we back up, we regroup, and we
DOD.
Figure something out, and then we charge forward. Yeah.
Stand by for four fucking hours while we wait for the bomb guys.
I have a client right now that's EOD tech. So nice. Yeah, he's fucking charged up.
Is he good?
He hasn't, he's got everything, all limbs and everything else. And I know that's not as common as we would like it to be.
Yeah, with bomb techs, man, those guys are fearless bastards. Yes. Holy cow.
He definitely is. He's definitely one of those guys. Yeah. And
so kudos to bomb guys.
I got my fucking fingers crossed. I'm like, this loan better work, because if not, this dude knows how to blow shit up with, you know, Home Depot's right up the road. So. But anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, this is part one of two, so we'll carry part two in on next week's show. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep.